We are in week two of our 40-day spiritual campaign called Miracles of Mercy. And I get the privilege today to share with you about mercy forgives the fallen. Mercy forgives the fallen. Let me pray. God has get this incredible opportunity to share to the family here at Navigation Church, family, friends, and guests. We pray that you would open our hearts up to receive all that you would have for us today. Pray that the scripture would not return void, but it would be sent forth with power. And Lord, we pray that you would work in each one of us today, that we would walk away today with change in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you know this or not, but people hurt people. I know many of us are probably experts on that. That we have journeyed enough in this life to realize that either I've hurt someone or you've hurt someone or we've all hurt someone and have been hurt. In this life and in this journey, that is going to occur at some point, at some time. At some point in time in your life, there's probably even a wound there from a hurt. Maybe it's a fresh one, maybe it's an old wound, but there's a wound in your life. And God so desires that you walk in freedom from that hurt. He so desires you to believe today in your freedom. And I hope that by the end of this message, that it's unpacked enough that you could walk away with a nugget of truth that could change your life, that you would be different than you were when you came in. We must forgive. You go, well, I don't have to forgive. You don't have to. But I think I can show you enough in scripture where you'll want to walk in that forgiveness and walk in that healing. There's even when we look in scripture and we go, why are we talking about this? Well, even Peter thought it was significant enough that in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21, you can read in your book, you can follow along on the screen, or turn to your app. But it says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? How many times? Count the ways of how many times you've had to forgive or you've resisted to forgive. Up to seven times? Not seven times, but 77 times. Well, that's a lot. Well, maybe once. Maybe I could do that once. I could forgive that person one time. Two, three, that's pushing it. Come on, think of that person. I know you have a name, you have a face already. You go, that's pushing it two or three times. Two or three. But when you look in that verse and you look in the scripture, and it says brother. I remember calling everybody brother in church. Some of you might not be that old school in church, but everybody said Brother Cody and Sister Gayla. And that was what we went around, just brother and sister. I get the idea. I'm glad we don't do that no more. But brother and sister. There's something that's dear to him when he uses the word brother, because it's someone that's close. I don't know if you're like me, but the people I've hurt the most are the people that are closest to me. The people I've been hurt from are the people that are closest to me. So that could be family. Oh. It could be friends. It could be your church family that you've been hurt by, you've hurt. So whether you want to believe it or not, sometimes I open my mouth in the wrong way. I know. It's hard to believe that. My wife's not here, so I walk in perfection. Might not be chiseled like that, but inside I am. We all hurt, and we all hurt people. I can think of family that I've hurt dearly. that I wish I could go and bring that right back. I can think of friends that I felt hurt from and that I've hurt dearly. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you go, why is this guy getting so emotional all of a sudden? It's because I believe this, believe in what the scripture says and does. I believe it's life. I believe when we live life and we do life, and family is family, you're stuck with them, right? Friends are friends, and church is church. But I find that during and in the journey, if you're willing to learn how to forgive, you will learn how to live in freedom. And you'll learn how to walk in liberty. And you will learn how to walk in mercy and extend mercy. You know, and it said seven times, and I saw that, and one or two and three, and you go, okay. And then you realize in the Jewish law, it was three times. So then you realize that, well, maybe just, it was like seven times. I'll just be generous with that seven. I'll go above and beyond what I know is required. Or 70 times. Find out it's no limit to how many times that I can forgive or be forgiven. To walk in mercy and extend mercy. You could choose to be and not forgive, and you'll find out that it locks you in a jail and keeps you prisoner inside. And I don't know if you like to serve that way and live your life that way. I think it's much easier to walk in the freedom and liberty and the grace and the mercy in a daily life than to lock myself up and throw away that key and live with the weight on my shoulders of unforgiveness. No limit. The parable that we are looking at is the parable in chapter 18. You can follow along in your book. You can read more about it this week. But the parable of the unmerciful servant. Story of a guy who was in debt up to his eyeballs. I can think of that older commercial not too long ago. In debt to, you know, he shows the house, he shows the mower, and just living in happiness. In blissful denial of the debt that he has so acquired. But the story of this master and this servant, and the servant that fell in such array of debt that when you read about it, it says 10 million bags of gold, bags and bags of the gold. And when you look at that in today's terms and you compare it, this might put it in better perspective, that it's $12 million that this guy owes. That's not a few thousand dollars. This guy makes me feel good. For real. $12 million. This guy was going to prison. And his wife and kids were going to be sold in slavery. This was a debt he could not pay back. This was a debt that finally caught up to him. And it was a debt that was bigger than him. So we looked that there's three reasons I must learn to forgive. Just three. I could probably add a few more. But three reasons for today's purposes that you can follow along in your book. If you have it on in your notes on the church app. Three reasons I must learn to forgive. One is because God has forgiven me. God has forgiven me. In verse 27 of chapter 18 of Matthew, it says, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. What on earth would cause somebody to take pity on this guy, cancel a $12 million debt, and let him go from that? Are you crazy? He owes you that. It's your right to claim that. How many times have we said that? It's my right. It is not fair, and they are wrong. And they have hurt me, and it's unjust, and I'm going to make them pay, or I'm never going to forgive them. I'm never going to have a relationship with them again. I'm making it firm. I'm not going to forgive them. You can't tell me otherwise. $12 million. You could get this. How many years would it take this guy to ever pay back? 30 years? I don't know how many years it would take him to pay back for $12 million. It's hard enough for me to pay back $1,000, let alone $12 million. But then you jump in Matthew chapter 18, verses 28 to 30, and it says, "But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins." Wow, 100 silver coins. "He grabbed him and began to choke him." I could just picture that. Just choking him. "You owe me, pay back." "He demanded." His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Well, how is he going to pay? He's in prison, so how are you going to pay the debt back? But think about this. How would you feel with the mercy and the pity and the forgiveness and being wiped away clean? Would you have, you really, you're paying, I don't owe you 10 million. I don't owe you 8-1. I don't owe you anything. Well, this servant went off and tried to collect all his debt and tried to collect money because he did not, catch this, he did not believe he was free. Why would he go off collecting money and collecting for a debt that he did not owe for? He was just extended mercy. He was just extended compassion, love, and kindness, but did not believe it. And he walked away showing he did not believe it. If you extend the kind of love and mercy and compassion and kindness, if you truly break a layer of that and come to the revelation of what that is, I would believe this guy would have walked in with forgiveness, going, "You will never believe what happened to me. This guy, my master, just let $12 million go. You owe me. You owe me 100. You compare that. This guy was chasing down $17. You're chasing down $17. You are not walking in the revelation of the mercy that was just extended to you. You are not believing that. Good Lord, think about your own self. I would say anybody that want to raise their hand that know they're in debt this morning, just raise your hand. No, some of you go, yeah. Yeah, I am. You see me, I'm honest. All that debt, could you imagine those credit card companies, the bank calling you and going, "Hey, you don't owe me anything. Your debt is gone. It is wiped clean. You don't owe me 1,000. You don't owe me 1,000,000. How would you react to that? First of all, you used to be like, "Are you on something? What'd you just say?" I would want to repeat. I would want to look at him and go, "What I hear you saying to me is, I don't owe you anything." Bingo, you're correct. The debt that you and I have has been paid by Jesus Christ, God's own Son that paid the price for us, to walk in the freedom and to walk in the mercy and to extend it to others. That's not easy to do. I would like to say I'm better at that today than I used to be. I'd have to ask my wife or my friends. But I would want to say today, I stand here understanding a new level of what mercy is and what grace and compassion is. Because I've experienced something in my life that has transformed me forever. To have the God of the universe send his son, leave the Holy Spirit here, and look at me and go, "You're my child. You're my son. You don't owe me anything. I love you, and it's clean." Do you believe that? Can you walk in that? I would want to say many of us walk in here today and you're holding unforgiveness in your heart. You're going, "I'm not forgiving that person. I don't care what that pastor says. He can fly a kite." And I would tell you, it's so much easier to live in a life of mercy and love and freedom. The weight that you carry around when you don't, it messes your world up, both physically, emotionally, spiritually. You never get to experience the real realm of Jesus Christ and his freedom to you, unless you start believing it, because God has forgiven me. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." There it is. Be kind and compassionate to one another. You got in your mind that one person? You go, "I'm not being kind one more time. I'm not being compassionate one more time. I'm not forgiving them because I was treated unfair." Unfair, I tell you. Me too. Remember saying it to your kids? You say, "Life's not fair. It's just not. It's not this perfect world. You're going to be treated wrong. Someone's going to say something to you." And even at church, it could happen. Do you know why? We're all a work in progress. We are not complete. I am still working out my salvation with fear and trembling. I'm still working on those areas in my life that God continues just to bring up, and I don't know why. See, it's not a one-time prayer. It wasn't a one-time moment that I had a year and a half that shined a light and I heard and I seen and I walked away so different. That was incredible and that was freeing and I believed it. But the work began afterwards. So today, you might have that moment of understanding what mercy is truly about and understanding how to forgive. But can I tell you that the journey's just beginning, and it continues for you and me, and we continue to have to unpack what that mercy is all about. If we don't understand grace and mercy, you will not understand how to give it. You'll never understand how to give it if you never understand what you just received. If you do not understand the compassion that Jesus Christ and the cross did for you and me. If you don't understand that, then today, may that day be for you, that you come into a relationship with Christ and you find what true freedom is all about and true grace is all about and mercy. Because he's not coming to you and going, "You owe me." He's going, "I forgive you. Believe it. Take it with you. Walk with it. And do the same." Number two, on reasons I must learn to forgive, because resentment makes me miserable. Matthew chapter 18 says, when the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debts of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Catch this. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owned. Do you see what just happened here? This is a self-inflicted man. He was paid. His debt was wiped clean. Why is he being tortured? For his inability to forgive the servant. How many of us in this room are not forgiven others as God has forgiven you? Think about that. He's thrown in a torture chamber, not because of his debt, but because of his unforgiveness. The conflict is upon and in his mind. Listen to this. You cannot control the hurt that happened to you, but you can control how long you hurt. Do you hear that? You can't control the hurt that happened to you, but you can control how long you hurt. I get that you are hurt. I get that you don't want to forgive. I understand life is not fair, and you may have been treated so unfairly. And it could be the worst of things that have occurred. But I'm asking you, sharing with you, would you investigate? Would you look with inside your life and go, can I forgive? Can I forgive and quit controlling and let God be God so that I could walk away from being hurt any longer? And blaming it on everybody. And I had a story between service shared with me that's the worst. I would just cringe at that ever happening. But understanding that forgiveness is forgiveness and you can walk in forgiveness today doesn't mean that you have to walk in trust right away. In Job, it says, some people die happy and at ease. Others have not happiness at all. They live and die within their bitter hearts. We lock ourselves up in a prison of anxiety and anger and bitterness. And we wonder why things go sideways in our lives. You wonder why you had a burst of aggression and you're loud and you're yelling at somebody and you, I don't know why. Could it be some unforgiveness taking place in your heart? Could I challenge you to look at that? Who is that? Is somebody you're pointing blame at the person that you need to mercy today? That for the next 40 days, you're going to figure out how can I mercy them? And I get it. I don't want to either. Can we just be real about that, right? I said in the first service, I know someone in my life that I go, he is as jacked up as anybody I ever know. Have known or seen, have been around. He's number one. And I go, I don't want to forgive that. Exactly how I feel. I don't want to go, I love you. I care for you. I want the best for you. But what I have to figure out is God loves them. He's given mercy to them. And I need to show compassion and kindness to them because Christ shown it to me. And he did not have to do that. And he did that for me. He did that for you. He extended unconditional love and mercy and grace to you. He didn't go, let me just count the ways of where you screwed up at. And how terrible you are. and how filthy you are. You're such a sinner. But he goes, we've all fallen short, and we all need Jesus, and we all need the cross, and we all need that unconditional love and that mercy that he extended, and he's extending it to you. We have the opportunity to pick that up, believe that, so we don't walk in misery and resentment, and we don't keep self-inflicting pain on ourselves. Number three is, because I will need forgiveness in the future. Yes, I will. My family has to offer it all the time. And you think that's easy to stand up here and preach something, and then your kids get to see sometimes the opposite of what you just said. Hello. It's because I'm screwed up too. I'm pursuing the King. I'm pursuing the lover of my soul. I'm pursuing my friend Jesus. But there's moments that the best that I do is not good enough. But Jesus has forgiven me. Walk in that. Walk in that power. In Matthew chapter 18, 35 says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist denomination, preacher, incredible, heard someone in a conversation say this, I could never forgive that person. Maybe you've said that a time or two. I could never forgive that person. And then he turned to them and said, well, then I hope you never sin. Because at some point, you're going to need mercy. At some point, you're going to need grace. As good as you think you are and you haven't figured out, you don't have the future figured out. And you don't know the next moment of your failure, of your struggle, and how you show your family you're screwed up. You don't know. And I don't know about you, but I want that grace and mercy extended to me as I do my best to extend it to others and love them and extend mercy right where they're at. That's amazing to me that Jesus, and we've heard leading up to the series, just how many times Jesus just was there in the midst of people's mess, and he mercied them, and he extended grace to them. The tax collector, the adulteress, the woman caught in the act, and how Jesus just mercied and loved. And then go, look at them, throw the stone. No, he said, if you have one and you think you can throw it because you've not sinned, then throw it. I cannot throw that stone. I'm walking away too. We all need that extended mercy to us so that we can extend it to others. Forgiveness is instant. Forgiveness is instant, but trust must be rebuilt over time. And boundaries set in place. And I'll tell you, forgiveness in certain situations is what needs to take place in all situations, but trusting someone that maybe has done the worst to you, that might never occur. But forgiveness is what has to take place. In most of our lives, though, we're going to have where we need to extend that mercy so that we can set good boundaries with people and walk in that. But I have to say, there are some situations that occur in this world that forgiveness, if you can step into forgiveness, that's the power and freedom to your life. And you don't have to walk back in and trust that person. Does that make sense? Romans chapter 12. I'm going to move forward. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. since she's gone, my wife is gone right now. Let me drink some more coffee. Love keeps no wrongs. In some ways, this is good, and sometimes this is bad on me, too. Because when we have our little moments of tension, I can never remember her wrong. That's not because I don't want to. I'm like, can I remember what you did last week? Or 20 years ago, I'd like to throw that right at you. She seems to be able to remember them all. Remember them all. Going, I wish. I don't know if God's blessed me with a mind like that or take it as you would, but she would like to say she just remembers the good things about me. And that's what comes my way from her. We better go move on. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? Who are you most likely to blame for the pain in your life? I feel like we all play the victim at times, and we all play the hero at times. We all like to come in and I am good and I am right and this is unfair and I need to take care of this, a hero. Or we just walk around as the victim all the time because it's always somebody else's. And somehow that person controls your forgiveness. You have the opportunity to walk without weights upon your shoulders, holding you back. You have the opportunity to unlock and walk in freedom. How can you release your hurt? We'll give you three things. How you can release your hurt. And it's not as simple as just these, but we do not have time to unpack each one of these. They're a message in themselves. Number one that you can fill in the blank is leave it to God. Leave it to God. Whether you believe it or not, God has it under control. He is in control. You cannot do it better than God. I know some of us think we can at times, and we are lying. God is in control, and He has it figured out, and He will take care of it. Believe it. Trust Him and walk in freedom. Number two is heal it with grace. Hebrews chapter 12 says, be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. For if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also prison and lock you up. In prison. Be careful that none of you fails to respond. That's all of us, that we fail to respond to the grace and to the mercy that God has extended to you. Heal it with that grace. Find more of who God is. I find every time I think I've got to the spot where I understand God's love or understand God's mercy, there's more. And whether you want to believe this or not, more is sometimes found in discomfort and struggle and storms in our life that we come out the other side knowing His mercy and grace and compassion so much more so that you can do what? So that you can believe it for yourself and so you can extend it to others. The last one is this. Nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Romans 6 says, we know that our old life dies with Christ on the cross so that our sinful selves would have no power over us and we would not be slaves to sin. So that we would not be slaves to sin. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do with your unforgiveness? What are you going to do with the ones that you feel hurt from? Are you going to continue walking in unforgiveness, or are you going to walk in love, compassion, and mercy? And maybe this is going to be the biggest moment of your year. To walk into the situation, to find what God wants to say and speak, how you can mercy, how you can forgive, how you can trust, how you can extend grace. This could be the biggest moment of your year. Would you be able to invite the Holy Spirit to check your heart today? Would you be able to invite God to go, God, look, search me, and if there's any wicked way, if I'm harboring unforgiveness that you've paid the debt for, and I keep locking the key or locking the door on the jail cell and staying in that moment of unforgiveness and carrying that weight, maybe today is the day that you believe that Jesus paid it all. And I want to invite you for a moment. I want to invite you as they sing this song that we close our eyes, bow our heads, and you take a moment and search your own life. Search, inventory, audit your heart right now. Is there any unforgiveness? Is there any hurt or wounds there in your life? And you might have to even go back 25, 30 years. It might not be something new. Go ahead, guys.
So I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. As you split the sea so I could walk right through it, my fears are drowned in perfect love, oh yeah. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God.
So maybe today you're sitting here and you're hearing about this Jesus that wipes your debt totally clean, clearing all debt from your life. That he's able to wash you of all sin. And you're going, I want to walk in that kind of freedom and liberty, and that kind of grace and mercy. So what I want to do is every eye and closed and every head bowed, if you go, I just want to know, I want to know that kind of Jesus. I've never met anybody that would do that. That you would just simply raise your hand. I just want to pray as that hand goes up today. And I see that hand. And I just want to pray. A simple prayer like this that we all would say. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive all my sins. All my debt, and I want to live for you, and I want to live to extend mercy to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to do one other thing. If you have your book, you could actually turn to page 41 in it. I want us to do one other thing. Wants to figure out and search your hearts, and maybe you don't write and you don't think of anybody. But I want to walk us through a prayer. Maybe it's that individual or individuals that you haven't been able to forgive, that you just fill in the blank on this page. And maybe it's not only forgiving them, but how can I mercy them? Read this prayer with me, would you? It says, "Dear Lord, I choose today to forgive. I ask for your power to do this. I realize trust may take time to rebuild, but I choose to hold no grudges. Help me to let go of bitterness and anger in my heart so that I may live in freedom. Help me understand how much you have forgiven me. Give me your grace so I can let go of my right to get even. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless this person who has hurt me. I ask you to bless him or her with these things. Now, Lord, please replace my pain with your peace. Replace my loss with your love. May the past be truly in the past. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen." I hope today, though it's challenging, though you have to look inside, that you find out and you find the real God that will wipe your slate clean so that you can go and extend mercy to someone else. God bless you.